following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of TriSceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. TriSceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
And it's Monday here in the studio at Superhuman Radio Central. And we're starting this week off with a bang. We've got two great shows planned today. My first hour, I will be speaking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. We're going to be talking about delayed onset muscle soreness. Many of you know what it is. You experience it. Maybe you don't any longer. Just depends on how long you've been training. We're going to be talking about some new research in the area of DOMS. And is it beneficial? Do you need to see soreness in order to experience gains in the gym, in either strength or size? Later in the show, we're going to have Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Prebanek on, and we're going to be talking about pregnancy and exercise. Should women abstain from exercise during pregnancy, or is it the right thing to train, and how hard should you train if you are? So that's later in the show. Okay, my first guest is actually my first guest on the show ever, and he is Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Welcome back to the show, Dr. DiPasquale.
Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, and we talk about this every time you're on, but you really were my very, very first guest on show number one, which I don't even know if I taped. I don't think I had the common sense to tape those shows back then.
No. Well, you know, we were just starting out. It's progressed quite well. Your whole show is becoming very popular.
Who knew? Anyway, Dr. DiPasquale, you yourself have been a world-class athlete. As I recall, you held world records in three different weight classes in your career as a strength athlete. Your experience with delayed onset muscle soreness must be both comprised by the science and the anecdotal information that you've gathered over the years of your own training and your colleagues' training alongside. Before we get into the research of what DOMS is and why it occurs, do you think there's any benefit to soreness? Is soreness an indication of progress in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I think it is to a certain extent. You know, I mean, initially, soreness sets up your muscles so that they become less sore the next training session and so on. The initial soreness, disappears. I mean, if it's really bad, for example, it may not disappear for a whole week. You know, your muscle strength goes down, everything decreases, the inflammatory, you know, the inflammation stays around for a long time. But the second time you do even the same exercises, you'll find that the soreness decreases appreciably. So there's an adaptation by the body. Is it productive? Again, up to a point. If you overdo it, in other words, if you try and get your muscles to be really sore every single training session, you're basically overtraining. The overtraining response, instead of building what you want, which is hypertrophy of the muscle, what you may be doing is actually replacing some of the muscle with fibrotic tissue, which is counterproductive to both size and strength.
Oh, really? And fibrotic tissue does not expand. It's not made out of traditional muscle sarcomeres, in other words, right?
No, really. It's basically scar tissue.
Yeah.
What you've done is you've done irreparable damage to the muscle fibers. The satellite cells don't replace the muscle fibers that have gone fibrotic or have gone through apoptosis, which basically means they've died off. And then the body replaces that with scar tissue, which over the long run can actually, you know, really dramatically and permanently decrease your muscle function and size.
You know, there's been a lot of professional physique athletes in the years past. One that comes to mind was Lee Haney, who used to use the mantra, stimulate, don't annihilate. So chasing soreness would be trying to annihilate the muscles because the bar is raised with every workout in order to achieve that same amount of soreness. But what about, I noticed that there have been periods in my career of lifting that I had to take off for a while. And just recently this happened.
Right.
When I come back into the gym, I noticed that I elicit that soreness. Is there a if soreness is beneficial in these initial bouts, but not necessarily trying to make it happen each and every time, is there any chance that periodic layoffs as part of your normal training routine could be used to kind of ride the crest of the wave of soreness, to give you those opportunities of soreness 4 or 5 times a year? And if so, would that actually result, in your opinion, in greater net gains?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because soreness is a response to a muscle that's not ready for the stress that's put on it, okay? And it can cause ongoing damage. It can cause a lot of other problems. It's best, I think, to avoid the extreme DOMS, which can, you know, affect your muscles and the way you are, the way your movements, for a week or more. So I wouldn't go after DOMS. Sure, a certain amount of muscle soreness is fine, but that may only last several hours. You know, the oxidative stress that's produced by something that produces severe DOMS can persist for several days, whereas if you don't develop DOMS, the oxidative stress may only be for a few hours, and that's productive, whereas the other one can be counterproductive.
Is DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness, different than active or working soreness in the fashion that the reason that it's delayed in its onset is that it's actually the fibrotic response that we're feeling, and then we have to re-tear those adhesions, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, basically speaking, it's my feeling that when you experience severe DOMS, you've actually destroyed part of the muscle. And what's happened then is some of the interior part of the muscle, some of the sarcoplasm, will go into the extracellular tissue and can actually go into the blood as well, and be very counterproductive. Also, some of the extracellular tissue can go into the muscle cell, since you've disrupted the membrane, and this can cause problems in the muscle cell. So basically, your contraction, which is the filaments, you're familiar with actin and myosin?
Sure, but go ahead, speak to it anyway for the audience. Yeah. Some may be hearing it for the first time.
Well, okay. Let's start at the beginning. You know, a muscle is basically a bundle of cells, bundle of muscle fibers. And each fiber is composed of what they call myofibrils, which are contracting elements inside this part of the muscle.
Right.
It's also composed of sarcoplasm. So what you have is what you can call the matrix of the muscle, of the myofibril, will be the contractile elements and the sarcoplasm, which would have the mitochondria and sort of like the gel-like material that surrounds the tissues. And this is actually quite important, because people who are after strength and train differently than people who are after muscle hypertrophy.
Right.
Will want to develop both the sarcoplasm and the myofibers, whereas a person who just wants strength and doesn't want to increase his body mass much because he's in a weight class like powerlifting or Olympic lifting may want to develop mainly the microfibrils, which are the contractile elements. So the muscle mass doesn't get much bigger,
right,
but the strength increases fairly dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So anyway, so basically what we're down to is a destructive element which interferes with the actin myosin, with the contraction of the muscle, because of several things that occur when the stress is so great that it damages the muscle fiber.
Okay.
It's complicated.
I agree.
It hasn't been fully worked out either. I mean,
I want to talk about, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. When we come back from the break, what I want to talk about is the fact that very, very few people understand why we experience delayed onset muscle soreness. There has been some new research. I've had a suspicion myself. So let's talk about that when we come back. Let's talk about delayed onset muscle soreness and get a handle on what is actually happening to the muscle. We're talking today with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. You can learn more about Dr. DiPasquale's works and products by going to metabolicdiet.com. That's the correct address, correct, Mauro?
It is for the current one. Okay. I've got a new site that's now in the works. It's mauromd.com.
Mauro, MauroMD.com.
Right, and it's not ready yet, but it's online, but it's not live.
Okay.
So people can go to that and have a look at the new articles and everything, and also sign in for the newsletter. Even if they've signed in before, they can sign in now to make sure that they're on the database.
Yes, because some of you who signed up for the newsletter originally may not be on the new database because of the importation process. Some people were lost, correct?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You should go to MauroMD, MauroMD.com. Whether you have or have not previously signed up for Dr. DePasquale's insightful and helpful newsletter, do it now and get on the current newsletter list. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more of Dr. DePasquale. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. veryintensepleasure.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Just want to remind everybody that the OP Resource offers my audience an additional 25% off their already low, low prices when you go to opresource.net to shop for peptides. Use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25, SUPERHUMAN, the number 5, all is one word, and save an additional 25% off your peptides for research purposes. We are talking this hour with Dr. Mauro DePasquale about delayed onset muscle soreness. There's lots of theories about DOMS, why it happens, and what you can do to even modulate and avoid it. What does the research show that DOMS is actually caused by, Dr. DePasquale?
Well, there's several theories, and they're just theories because they still have a lot of research to do to back them up. One of the theories, for example, is that the tissues aren't ready for an extreme exertion like that, so that the energy availability, ATP availability, is limited. So so they go into what they call the glycolytic process, which means they produce ATP in a very inefficient way and build up lactic acid and build up protons. And these cause damage, plus the fact that there's a lack of ATP, a lot of the functions within the cells are no longer able to keep going. And so this causes disruption of the muscle, of the fiber, and the disruption of the membrane of the fiber causes leakage of stuff outside and inside, stuff goes inside from the outside matrix. So that's one of the theories. I think almost all the theories depend on some sort of negative process in the muscle fiber that makes it weaker and unable to do what it should do for a period of up to a week or more, depending on the damage that was done. So, you know, we have other things that, that may be causing that, but I think that's basically it. Damage, for one reason or another, occurs to the fiber. Fiber starts breaking down, and technically speaking, if it's not too severe and if it's not done on a regular basis for long periods of time, this can lead to hypertrophy, because what happens is all of the things that happen when the muscle fiber is damaged leads to the satellite cell activation, and these satellite cells...
Supercompensation.
These satellite cells form new muscle fibers, which will either... are new muscle fibers on their own, or else they coalesce with damaged muscle fibers.
Why is it delayed? Why wouldn't we feel it moments after, or even an hour or so after the workout, and then it would continue to be painful through the following days? In most cases, delayed onset muscle soreness doesn't occur until about the second day, about 48 hours after the thrashing. Is this metabolic waste that's been built up, or is this the fibrosis process is now set in place and you're constantly re-tearing these unstretchable adhesions?
Well, I think what it is if the oxidative stress or the stress only lasts for a short period of time, like it does most times when you work out. You know, you have oxidative stress, a few hours later after your training, it's gone. If you feel a bit of soreness a little while later, it's gone as well. If the oxidative stress continues because of all the influx of the inflammatory cells and various things that happen, then the DOMS can start after 24, 48 hours and persist for several days. I think this is the...
I just want to make sure I understand this. Are you saying that even though the exercise may only last minutes, the assault continues for the next day... Or the insult, rather, the insult to the muscle fibers continues for the next day or so. So the actual episode of insult hasn't ended just because you've finished your workout.
No, exactly. And no, it can last quite a while. The assault continues. You've done damage to the muscle. The infiltration happens. It just doesn't clear up all at once. It actually will build and get worse as the day progresses. And then you start feeling the extreme soreness, et cetera. You don't feel it initially because the body really hasn't responded. What the body does is accentuates any damage you do over the next 24 or 48 hours by infiltrating with macrophages and cytokines and things that can cause further damage. The delayed onset is because of that, I think.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about the effects of things. Well, first of all, let's go back to something you and I talked about off the air. Is there any evidence that the onset or the perfect storm that creates a delayed onset muscle soreness episode is somehow related to those cells' inefficiency to utilize or access glycogen for the work that needs to be done? So the muscle fibers are kind of running lean, if you will, and undergo some sort of inflammatory damage as a result of being forced to work without fuel.
No, that's very true. I mean, when you've laid off for a while, a lot of the things that you've developed, a lot of the enzyme systems that have been activated, will deactivate. I mean, it's like if you have a very muscular leg, and all of a sudden you break your leg, you put it in a cast. And 2 months later, you take the cast off, and your leg's not there anymore. It's half the size it was before. So you get this kind of response.
From being laid off for a while. So the efficiency of the muscle fibers to do the work has dropped. Their inefficiency leads to perhaps a lack of proper fuel utilization, and that could actually precipitate this situation.
Well, I think what happens is, and this is what I was actually going to say, was that initially you're not able to do, efficient oxidative production of ATP. In other words, the Krebs cycle is not sort of fired up to handle what it needs to handle to produce the energy you need to keep the muscles and everything active and going smoothly along. So what happens is you depend on a very inefficient glycolytic process, which is there. This is the anaerobic component. And I think you run out of ATP because you just haven't activated the area. So the second time you do it, for example, let's say a week later, you may do exactly the same exercise and not feel hardly any soreness at all. Because
right.
at that time, the body's adjusted its mechanisms, its enzymes, the citric acid cycle or Krebs cycle is more finely tuned and can produce energy faster. So there's a number of things involved. I'm sure that's part of it.
Right. Do you think that there's ways to modulate? If you know that you're coming off of a layoff and you know that you're going to go into the gym, quite often you can't necessarily go, well, I'll just do an easy workout, because you really don't know what your muscles are going to respond to. And quite often, even going in and doing an easy workout the first few times to kind of get back in the groove still will precipitate a DOMS response. Are there any things that have been shown to effectively mitigate the effects of that initial workout causing a DOMS episode?
There's been a lot of things tried, and research is full of papers saying, you know, we tried heat before, we tried stimulation before, we tried, you know, using various nutrients, and I don't think there's very many that had any effect at all on the ensuing DOMS. And even once they had the DOMS, to use analgesics and things like Motrin, ibuprofen, and all that have not shown to be very productive either, as well as, you know, massage and all that.
Let's say the day after the thrashing, let's say you did legs and you're preparing for an onset of DOMS, the next day getting up and doing some moderate cardio or something that pumps blood into the muscle, would that have a mitigating effect, you think?
Well, it may, but you also may damage it further.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to be really careful. I think the best thing to do is basically rest.
And suffer.
suffer. I mean, I've gone through it many times myself, so, you know, and I've tried all kinds of things.
The worst are legs. The worst are when you can't even sit down on a chair. It's like painful just to sit down because your glutes are sore, your hamstrings are sore, your quadricep muscles are sore, right down to the patella. I mean, it's like you can't even sit. Just sitting is a task.
And different muscles react differently as well. So you may be worse in the hamstrings than you are in the quads, et cetera, depending on the person and depending on, you know, the exercises you've been doing. So it can vary quite a bit. It's tough. I mean, if you look at the literature, the only things I've come up with that really may help DOMS are things that really are out of the realm of most people. One of them is follistatin.
Really?
Which has an effect on myostatin, as you know.
Right.
Decreasing myostatin. This seems to have there's a paper that was published in, actually about a month ago. It's a header print. I can look it up for you real quick if you want.
Well, we're going to take a break in about 4 minutes, 3.5 minutes. So why don't we save coming back to that when we come back from the break? Yeah, I'd like to know.
One more thing. Let me add one more thing. You've heard of ACE inhibitors? These are used for high blood pressure?
Sure, sure.
Apparently,
angiotensin converting enzyme is produced by the kidneys in response to a fight or flight situation. And subsequently, Well, I just made a boo-boo. We're going to take the break early. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Branched chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The 3 amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs. Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Sorry for being such an inept producer while being a host. My cell phone started to ring during the discussion at the end of the last segment, and instead of hitting the end button on my cell phone, I disconnected Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. But he is back with us now. Okay, Mauro, let's pick it up where we were talking there. So there's a relationship between DOMS and ACE inhibition, and I was simply saying that ACE stands for angiotensin-converting enzyme, which is an enzyme produced by the kidneys that have a vasoconstrictive effect on peripheral vasculature, correct?
Right. Okay. Now what happens is the ACE inhibitors will decrease the conversion of angiotensin 1 to angiotensin 2, and it's believed that angiotensin 2 contributes to DOMS.
Really?
Yeah. So,
In what way?
Well, again, it hasn't been worked out, but there's no doubt that it decreases the inflammation that occurs with DOMS. It decreases some of the, it seems to have a beneficial effect. So, you know, whether or not people want to use an ACE inhibitor prior to working out, if they feel they're, you know, just getting back into it and they don't want to be sore for a week.
Well, you know what? You know what nature's ACE inhibitor is?
What? Sorry.
Magnesium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Magnesium is a very, very effective angiotensin converting enzyme inhibitor in the areas of 600 milligrams. And magnesium glycinate will not give you the intestinal distress that some magnesium will.
Yeah. I've heard of athletes using magnesium prior to training. in fairly large doses to especially when I get back into it. So you're right. You're definitely looking at an inhibitor there, an ACE inhibitor. I did find that paper on follistatin.
Yeah, so now let's talk about that. That's interesting because follistatin has been focused on basically for its ability to lower myostatin, but the problem with follistatin as a myostatin inhibitor is that unless myostatin is inhibited around 90% continuously, the gains in muscle are just not noticed that people are chasing. So how does it affect DOMS?
Well, apparently it's something you use when the DOMS has started, okay?
Ah.
And it's recovery from skeletal muscle injury. What happens is what you don't want is the fibrosis, and you don't want an inadequate regeneration of the muscles. In other words, you want hypertrophy, you don't want to be catabolic, decreasing muscle size, et cetera. And apparently, the follistatin is it's a myostatin antagonist, and apparently it stops some of the inflammatory response and especially the fibrosis. Now, fibrosis is increased by transforming growth factor B. I don't know whether we want to get into this, but
you can get it. Touch on it.
Transforming growth factor B is one of the cytokines that's produced with muscle injury. Ordinarily, it will add connective tissue to the inside of the myofibrils. You know, we mentioned that the sarcoplasm, you know, where the mitochondria are and everything.
Right.
And so it has a beneficial effect in that way. But if there's too much around and if it's chronic, it actually leads to increased fibrosis and a degeneration of the muscle cells. Mm. So what you want to do is try and decrease the transforming growth factor B. Actually, interestingly enough, antioxidants will do this to some extent.
Any particular antioxidants, COVE?
Well, combination. The research has only been on alpha-lipoic acid. That has shown that it has an effect on transforming.
So, should someone start taking alpha lipoic acid prior to the workout, you think, or once the onset of soreness occurs?
Well, prior to the workout, probably would be somewhat beneficial. Yeah. No one's actually done any studies though to see, take a group of 30 people that are roughly in the same training stage, put 15 on the antioxidant mix and 15 not, and then find out just what happens with DOMS and how long it lasts, and how it affects the strength, etc.
Kevin Johnson posted on the show's Facebook to ask Dr. DePasquale if stopping short by one or two reps of failure would reduce the DOMS effect. And I have a feeling that the answer is that's not going to do it because I think the muscles become damaged way before a mechanical failure occurs.
Yeah, the most important thing when you haven't trained for a while and you come back into it is to do very, very little and then see what the response is. I mean, when I took some time off from powerlifting, I went back in the squats, rather than start off with a weight I could do, maybe, let's say, 500-600 pounds, I would keep it down to maybe 220 pounds.
Right.
And I would do just a small number of reps, and I'd wait. Next day, how do I feel? The next day after that. Then I'm okay. I'll increase gradually and then get right into it.
And you know what the funny thing is? I'm coming to understand this more and more when it comes to DOMS, when it comes to even the response to certain exercise routines. Many of us are way too impatient. That's where a lot of the problems occur. Like you said, people would think to themselves, well, why would I go into the gym and lift so light and just do a few reps and see how I feel the next day? I need to get back in there. I need to squeeze every drop of progress out. Let's face it. None of us are really Olympic athletes. We're not making a living doing this. The majority of us are doing this because we love it. We should have the patience to try that.
Yeah, the thing is the mind will often do much more than the body can stand.
I deadlifted today for the first time since right before Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, I fell down a flight of stairs and I pinched my hamstring when I hit one of the stair steps, right where it inserts underneath the glute. And I couldn't do any stiff leg deadlifts, and I couldn't do any deadlifting whatsoever. But
hamstrings are so essential for that.
Yeah. And so my hamstring hasn't bothered me for a couple months now, and I thought, I'm going to go in today. And really, my workouts are very, very arduous in this day and age. I'm doing a lot of supersets where I'm doing heavy movements like breathing squats followed by plyometric squats, for instance. And then today I went in and I did 10 reps with one plate, 10 reps with two plates, 5 reps with 3 plates, 2 reps with 4 plates, and thought to myself, wow, I can't believe that, you know, 405 came up so easy. I feel so blessed that that was it. I thought, you know, I'm not even going to do anything else today. And I walked out with my gym clothes still on. Usually I shower and shave at the gym. I thought, I'm not going to tempt fate today. I'm just going to take off. I didn't feel really strong. I didn't have a great morning this morning. At first, I thought I was going to be really strong in the gym, but then a couple things derailed me. And I thought, you know what? That's all I'm going to do. I have a funny feeling that I'm going to come back stronger with my deadlift in a couple days because I didn't go ahead and do the traditional workout that I would have done.
Yeah. Now, how long were you off?
Well, since Valentine's Day. That's April, right?
Oh, wow.
In the deadlift.
I'm surprised that you're not feeling some DOMS even with that.
No, I don't. But you see why? I didn't do anything. I really don't feel like I did anything today. I really feel like I coasted and cheated today because I didn't even break a sweat this morning. I mean, I did basically five sets. I did two sets with the 405 and just, you know, two reps each, and that was it. And I thought, and I was about to go do some rowing movements, and I thought, you know what? I think I'm done. So, and I'm going to see what happens now. But, you know, too many of us are just not willing to give ourselves the time to see how these things work. Dominique Lest, who listens to the show from the island of Mauritius off of Madagascar, the coast of Madagascar, has a question. He posted that it's his belief that systemic enzymes are good for DOMS. Do you have an opinion on that, Dr. DePasquale?
I don't think anyone's ever tried using them. You know, I mean, obviously what you want to try and do is break down some of the inflammatory tissue, maybe even some, because there is some blood extravasation and some clotting, and maybe breaking down some of that, it may help. You know, what kind of enzymes, like papain and bromelain?
I would imagine so, and yeah, pancreatin and ox bile and all. I think he's probably talking like about a product like Wobenzyme, which is
Well, you know, it's worth a try. I personally don't think it's going to help much.
I'll tell you what I've found helps me with DOMS, but you have to do it before the onset of the DOMS. Contrasting with a hot sauna and then an ice cold shower, which a lot of people, you have to really be in physical condition to do this. You have to have done it before because it takes your breath away. But sitting in a hot sauna right after a workout for a good 20 minutes where you're really, I mean, you're really overheated, and then stepping into either a moderately to ice cold shower, depending on what you can withstand, and blasting your body, I find relieves any muscle soreness that I get at all, that I would normally get the next day from a workout.
Well, you heard of Charlie Francis?
No, I don't think so.
Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson, I've heard of, sure.
Okay. Well, Charlie Francis was Ben Johnson's coach. He recently died, unfortunately. And he would do the hot and cold showers intermittently with his athletes after training. And he found, in fact, that it did help alleviate muscle pains and aches and helped them recover better, et cetera. And they would be five minutes done in succession.
Right. Contrast showers. I've heard of those.
Contrast showers. But you know what? Hell, man, that's stress in itself. I don't know if I'd want to do it.
It's. I'll tell you what. The very first time I stopped doing this particular process, probably about 7 months ago, when I got ready to leave Phoenix, and I just started doing them again about a month ago, and the very first time I do this, when your body's not ready for it, your body really has to be ready for this. To sit in a sauna that's 150 degrees, which is the sauna at my gym, for 20 minutes, and I shave in the sauna. That's why I take my time. I shave. Then stepping into an ice cold shower where I just literally turn the handle a fraction, so it's just exclusively cold water.
Right.
And I let it hit my face first, and I literally, the very first time I do this and the first couple times I do it, I feel like I could faint. I feel like syncopate. You know, everything gets pale and white. Mm-hmm. I can feel the blood rushing out of me. I can feel weak for a second, but then it comes back. And the very first time I do it, my eyes usually get injected with blood. I have my scleras are all red because the blood just forces its way in there. But when you do it after every workout, I find that I recover a lot faster, and I feel like I'm making better gains. Now, one of the things that I like about the heat process is I believe, from a dialogue that I had with Dr. Michael Gorder, who runs the Cologne Cancer Institute in Germany,
right.
raising body temperature as little as 1 degree Fahrenheit can greatly stimulate enzyme cascade processes in the body. And the reason I'm telling this whole story is because Dominique Lest is asking about systemic enzymes. I feel that there may be a linkage between enzymes and soreness, but not in the traditional way. I have a funny feeling that enzymes can actually reduce the metabolic waste buildup that may lead to soreness.
Quite possible. But, you know, many, many years ago, people tried out dinitrophenol. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Is that DNP?
Yeah, DNP.
Right.
And they would use this
to shed weight, shed body fat. It's a mitochondria uncoupler, correct?
Yeah, it's an uncoupler. It also raises body temperature.
Right.
And they would use this when they hadn't trained for a while, use this several hours before the training, and found that it decreased the DOMS appreciably.
Now, interesting.
I don't suggest anybody use it because it's very dangerous.
There have been people who have died by cooking themselves
definitely.
From the inside out.
But I just wanted to emphasize the fact that raising body temperature, even artificially, may be a factor in decreasing DOMS.
Wow. So it could be just take advantage of the sauna in your gym.
That's all going to help. I mean, no matter what you do, as far as I'm concerned, you're going to have some pain if you've overdone it and you haven't done it for a while. You know, you're too enthusiastic. Like you said, you don't want to wait. You want results right away. You take a two-month layoff and you start with what you did just before you laid off.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
That's a big mistake because you won't walk for a week.
Yeah, exactly. Try sitting down, especially if you're squatting. Try sitting down. All right, let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap it up. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. You can learn more about him by going to MauroMD, MauroMD.com. Sign up for his newsletter. Get his information before anyone else does. You'll be smarter. We'll be right back.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexFin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from trueprotein.com. trueprotein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit trueprotein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio
Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Soulja Boy, I tell you. Hey, I got the new damn for y'all called the Soulja Boy. You just gotta punch, then crank back.
I want to remind everybody that Kodiak Cream got hammered with 22,000 plus requests for their free sample of the Kodiak Cream, which is an amazing product. It does not have any NSAIDs in it. It doesn't have any pharmaceuticals in it. It is a powerful pain reliever for muscle pain, joint pain. We're talking about DOMS today. I bet it would aid you with that as well. I told you how I used it moments after pulling my soleus muscle sprinting one day, and I couldn't even walk home, rub this stuff on, and I could feel the pain going away in about 10 minutes, and I was amazed. The stuff really works. They are going to have to start charging $1.75 fee for the sample packet, and it's well worth it. But they have no choice, because no company could respond to the overwhelming response for free samples that they're getting right now. And so it'll be up on my website. If you click the Kodiak Cream link, you will be apprised that there will be a $1.75 fee. I think they're going to have a link that goes right to their website so that they can actually handle that processing with you. So please be aware. And if you are one of the 22,000 people who are waiting for free samples, please be patient, because it's a big task for these guys to fill that sample request right now. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. We're going to wrap it up here talking about delayed onset muscle soreness, just try to cover some other things. I've heard, Mauro, that 200 milligrams of caffeine anhydrous post-workout can actually mitigate the episode of DOMS. Anything else out there that you know of that can aid in DOMS?
Well, you know, I mean, increasing blood flow to the muscle, that may help, because inflammation, et cetera, compromises blood flow. This is where something like a nitric oxide supplement would be beneficial. You know, we mentioned magnesium. We mentioned a few other factors that people don't have ready access to. But basically speaking, the way I feel is that no matter what you use, you may mitigate it, but you're not going to get rid of it. And the best way to do it is try to prevent it in the first place, like you did. With, doing a first workout that's not too taxing, and then waiting and seeing what the results are going to be before you do your next workout.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, nitric oxide producers, there's quite a few of them out there now, and some companies have even gone to nitrates to produce nitric oxide. I think that there is some evidence that citrulline and alpha-ketoglutarate are better choices than just plain old L-arginine. But also, there is some evidence that increased nitric oxide may inhibit calcium channel activity in muscle fibers, which means that the contractile force may actually be diminished. Are there any other negative effects of using nitric oxide inhibitors, in your opinion?
Yeah, I agree with you about the contractile force decrease. There's no doubt that that probably happens. But that in itself, you know, I mean, why do people use these nitric oxide supplements?
They want to feel a pump.
Gives them a pump, okay?
Right.
So it increases the blood flow to the muscle. And on that basis, they think they're getting more nutrients to the muscle.
But does it actually increase blood flow, or does it increase blood congestion in the muscle?
I think more congestion than blood
flow. Right?
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
But one of the big problems with nitric oxide supplements, especially if you're using the nitrates, which, as you know, nitrates can be converted, they can be reconverted both in the saliva and in the body to produce nitric oxide, and levels that would be obviously super physiological. What happens, unfortunately, is that it inhibits testosterone production. It has a negative effect on steroidogenesis.
So really?
So that
is it nitric oxide that inhibits testosterone production?
Yeah.
Is,
Really?
No, it's actually nitric oxide. It results in a lowering, and there's several studies that back this up, results in a lowering of the endogenous testosterone production because it inhibits the cells in the testicles, the Leydig cells.
Right, the Leydig cells.
That make testosterone. So, you know, while, you know, nitric oxide supplements may dramatically increase, you know, the congestion, and they feel like they got more of a pump and, you know, maybe a better workout, and that could be more of a placebo effect as far as a better workout. The impression that it's a potent ergogenic aid, which is what's pushed by a lot of companies, is really not true because it has the detrimental effects on testosterone production, which makes it really counterproductive for muscle hypertrophy, body composition, and athletic performance. So, you know, it's a tough call. Depends on what you want, but to me,
are the reductions in testosterone production significant, Mauro, in the research that you've seen, or is it you know a couple percent?
No, it's significant.
Really?
There's a paper that was. I'm just trying to find it here because it's one that was published in September of 2010. Testosterone-induced modulation of nitric oxide GMP signaling pathways and androgenesis in rat Leydig cells. Basically, testosterone upregulated NO signaling via increased NO2 expression. But basically what happens, testosterone-induced modulation serves as an autocrine regulator of testicular steroidogenesis. So if you increase nitric oxide, you decrease the production of testosterone. If you decrease nitric oxide, you increase the production of testosterone.
So there's a delicate dance in between.
There's
somewhere.
A delicate dance in there. Plus, there's other things that are involved. You've heard of D-aspartate?
Sure. D-aspartic acid is very popular now as a testosterone booster.
Yeah, I use that in TestoBoost. So that it actually acts, the two of them, nitric oxide and the D-aspartate, can actually act as counter-affecting ingredients. In other words, one will decrease testosterone, one will increase the testosterone.
So if you are taking a nitric oxide booster, you probably need to take D-aspartic acid along with it.
Yeah, but on the other hand, why bother, you know, sort of delete or deleting?
Here's what I was going to say now. There's a whole class of drugs out there right now called PDE5 inhibitors, which are used for erectile dysfunction, that are actually finding their way into young men's hands because it's kind of like a performance enhancer for the bedroom. And obviously these increase certain episodes of nitric oxide, not whole body nitric oxide.
Not whole body, no.
Right.
That's exactly the point. It doesn't actually do much. Although athletes, you know, have been using Viagra now for, you know, several years.
For what?
To enhance performance.
Sexual performance or
no, athletic performance.
How does it enhance athletic performance?
Well, it has positive effects, not just on dilating and increasing blood flow. It has positive effects on endurance, and there's several studies that have shown that Viagra actually will help athletes perform better.
No kidding.
No kidding. Yeah, it's out there. And as a matter of fact, I think it's in the process of being banned by WADA, IOC.
Oh, wow, that's terrible for the guys who are using it for ED.
Well, exactly. I mean, again, you know what happens, you know, if you want to compete, you got to go by the rules. If you don't want to go by the rules, then you don't compete. It's kind of like tough love.
We've talked about this, you and I, on previous episodes. This is where sports starts to dictate medicine.
Exactly. That's not good.
It's not a good thing. You know what? It's like, my God. You know what? I have a new sponsor, and we're going to actually do an interview this week. Geared Up Nutrition produces a product called Very Intense Pleasure. It's actually it is the actual herb that gave rise to the development of Viagra. It is a natural PDE5 inhibitor, and this stuff really works.
Okay.
So could an athlete use that instead of, if he's not using Viagra, could he use that since it's a natural version of it?
Probably. Again, you know, Viagra is an inhibitor. It also has other properties as well. So I'm not sure whether using an inhibitor like Viagra would be, whether it would have the other properties that Viagra would have.
Yeah, no, I don't know that.
Interesting to try it out.
Yeah, I don't know that. I do know that this product is made from the original botanical that was used as the model to develop Viagra because it's a natural PDE5 inhibitor. So it's going to be interesting.
What is it?
You know what? I'd have to find the label and read it to you. But we're actually doing a show, I think, Tuesday, either tomorrow or Wednesday. They're slated to come on the show and talk about it.
Yeah, I've come across a few botanicals that have that that ability. On this new site, by the way, I'm going to have a blog, which I'll be probably doing almost every day, in which I'll be, you know, discussing a lot of these issues in short form, and then maybe sometimes in long form. And this is one of the issues I'll be looking at: is the natural botanicals that act like Viagra. But I'm looking into whether or not they have the performance enhancing effect of Viagra.
Yeah, and that remains to be seen, because, like you said, obviously the pharmaceutical products have different properties than the stuff that comes from nature. There's other, and the reality is the stuff that comes from nature quite often outperforms the pharmaceutical products, because there are synergistic effects of things that pharmaceutical companies leave out when they're isolating that magic bullet.
Exactly.
That have other effects. So
there's been many examples of that.
Yeah, that'll be very, very interesting. All right, so let me go ahead and plug your website again. It's MauroMD, MauroMD.com. Those of you who were on the newsletter list before, as I was, may not be, as I am not, because I'm not getting it anymore. Interesting.
I haven't done it for a while, because we've been, I've been busy with some health problems with some members of my family.
Right, right. So those of you who are or are not on the list should go to MauroMD, MauroMD.com today, and get on the list, regardless of whether you were before or not, because Dr. DePasquale will be reinvigorating the newsletter, and the newsletter is great. You will not get this information anywhere else. Mauro is one of the original thinkers in our sport and nutrition segment, and quite often says things that take years for others to go, you know what? This is the way it works. And Mauro's been talking about it for 10. Look at his metabolic diet book. It's been around for, how long has that book been out there for now, Mauro?
Well, I originally wrote articles on it back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
1990s.
And people are still using it. The anabolic diet, the metabolic diet, they were all diets that were created by Dr. Mauro DePasquale, and then they become en vogue and someone calls them something else.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. At first, it wasn't easy. You know, especially with the anti-fat sentiment.
Yeah, that's right. You were pushing that you were pushing pro-fat years and years ago anti-fat
decades.
Just started getting rolling.
Yeah, decades. Yeah, and I got a lot of flack for it, too.
Yeah, they probably said you were an irresponsible physician, I have to believe.
Yeah, and now all the research is really backing up what I've said for the last, you know, actually 4 decades.
Right. Well, there you go. Go to MauroMD.com. And check it out. Mauro, thanks so much.
Let me just say one more thing,
yes.
Carl. That site is not active. I mean, it's there, and you can look at it and stuff, but you can't order any supplements. You have to go to metabolicdiet.com if you want to order supplements or do anything active. I hope to have it active by the end of next month.
You know what you should do in the meantime? You should have a link on that site.
Yeah,
when they click it, they just go to metabolicdiet.com. Have your web guy
I want them to see the site, because I've written 60 or 70 articles that are very comprehensive, and there's a question and answer, plus the blogs will be starting as well, which I think will be very popular, because there's a lot of things I have in my mind that I just can't get out, and the blogs are going to be great for me.
Good. That's perfect. Mauro, thanks so much for making time to come on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And we'll have you back soon, okay? When your schedule starts to loosen up, anytime you want to get on the show, you just have to let me know.
I will. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be talking about pregnancy. And whether or not you should train while pregnant, and if so, what kind of training you should do. We'll have Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Probanek on. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
She's a very kinky girl. The kind you don't take home to.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, sometimes I'm at the gym and I see a pregnant woman on the elliptical machine or doing things like plie squats with a dumbbell, and I always think to myself, gee, you know, that's got to be risky. She may push herself into delivery, and maybe she should just sit back and relax for the 9 months and fatten up like all the other women in the United States do, and then have to worry about losing the baby fat after that. But am I right? Or am I wrong? Well, my next guest knows the answers to these things. She is Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Probanek. Not only is she an astute strength and conditioning expert, but she's given birth, so she has an opinion. How you doing, Cassandra?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So, I mean, this has to be something. Okay, let's set the stage here. You are one of those women who loves to lift, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to move. Okay. I can't sit still.
Right. And, I mean, you are one of those women who believes the new mantra that strong is the new sexy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So what happened when you got pregnant? Did you think to yourself, oh, you know, I can't lift. I have to do what everybody else does and just sit back and fatten up?
That really worried me a lot. I was actually, when I got pregnant, I had just finished 12 years of school, and during that time also a year of an internship, and all I wanted to do was just get back into really good shape and, you know, just have freedom. And then I'm here, so the last thing I wanted to do was sit around and just get more out of shape, because, you know, when you're doing a PhD, you don't really exercise 24 hours a day. Maybe some people are genetically blessed, but I wasn't one of them, so
I was
determined to not get extremely overweight, and I was really worried about gaining a whole bunch of weight and gaining a lot of body. It's not that I'm scared of it, because I'm definitely not like ripped, lean, and mean or anything. But you know, I'm not overweight at all. But and I've really toned down my thinking about all of it. Like, there's more important things in life than being 1% body fat.
Right.
But But during pregnancy, it really bothered me that there was all the messages, all the videos that you find, like on all these pregnancy exercise websites, pregnancy and fit mom, or whatever there is there, we're all just like, sit on an exercise ball and twirl your hips around and, you know, just do some light walking and use like pink dumbbells. And I was like, no, no, no. This is exactly what I've been telling women not to do, is to lift pink dumbbells. I'm like, this is bull crap.
Right.
So, so I didn't do that. And I looked further into it, and I found there's a few research papers here and there that actually looked at elite athletes, like Olympians, who did their, you know, competed in Olympic lifting while they were pregnant.
Right.
You know, and it was the base. And then the best book out there is the one, Exercising Through Your Pregnancy. I'm just looking on his name, but it's right here in my shelf, but what's it called again? Exercising Through Your Pregnancy by James Clapp. Sorry, I can't remember his
okay.
name. James Clapp. In his book, he followed all these athletes, and he showed that babies that were born to these athletes were leaner, smarter, you know, when the athletes were fed well, not athletes that starved themselves, obviously, but that you know, had healthy pregnancies. The babies were leaner, smarter, had better cognitive development, you know, stronger. And I couldn't say more about that. My daughter, you know, she's 15 months now, and she's very strong, very lean, and I mean, like, unnaturally lean, but you know, a very healthy, awesome child. Not saying that other babies aren't like that, but she really wasn't
well,
one of those pudgy
but there is, there
babies,
is,
you know?
There is a lot of research that shows that babies born to mothers who put on way too much weight during pregnancy end up, first of all, being born fat babies, number one. Number two, they do show a lot of the early markers for some of the metabolic syndrome disorders, including diabetes. And they also show a propensity to be fat when they turn five, to be, you know, compared to their age-adjusted peers. They
yeah.
tend to be on the track to obesity. Now, I remember when I wrote a blog post about this probably last year, because there was a research study that showed that fat moms give birth to fat children. And,
wow.
I'm putting it, I'm kind of, you know, summarizing. And what I said was, yes, these babies may be born larger. I think that the babies born to fat mothers were an average of a pound and a half larger than the babies born to mothers who only put on 26 pounds during pregnancy. And they used a 26 pound, and I want to say a 35 pound plus threshold to look at these women.
Right.
Also, by the time that those children turned five, I think it was, or six, they followed them. Those children who were born bigger to bigger moms who put on more weight tended to be already on the tracks of what would be considered childhood obesity. But I said it's not just because they were born heavier. It's because they lived in a household where the mom and dad probably didn't eat right to begin with. And they were learning bad dietary habits that just basically built on the foundation of them being a little chunky at birth.
Absolutely. That's, yeah, the lifestyle. It's, you know, it's nature versus nurture, and there's a lot of, you know, philosophical papers written about that. And I know that actually even from experience. I'm adopted. And, you know, I grew up in a different house than, say, I may have grown up, you know, naturally because I was adopted. And, I mean, I look a lot like my birth mother. I met her. We look a lot the same. We have similar body types, but I'm a little bit more athletic than she is, so I have, you know, and I'm also younger, obviously, but even when she was a bit younger, you know, I think I was a bit more athletic, and I had, you know, I have a little less body fat in certain areas than she does. So, you know, your environment, you can change it, but there is certain genetic components. So if you have in your genes, you know, that your genetic line is heavier and eats a lot of sugar, then you're more tendency to do the same thing. And it's not always the case, but I mean, genes can have a lot, but so can your environment. I mean, there's things that make you who you are versus, you know, how you were raised versus what your genetic makeup was. So
right.
Regardless, though, like through all of it, though, in pregnancy, I mean, there's a lot of controversy. Should women sit around and do nothing? And I investigated that a lot, and I talked to a lot of different women. And for the most part, there does not seem to be any reason whatsoever that a woman cannot maintain her same level of activity during pregnancy as she was before she was pregnant.
Okay. I want to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to delve deeper in this. I mean, we have women out there who squat and squat considerably heavy for women. I want to talk about the different types of exercises that perhaps lend themselves to the pregnant trainer and how hard they should push to stay on track. We're talking with Dr. Cassandra Forsythe-Probanek. You can learn more about her by going to her website, CassandraForsythe.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. Cassandra Forsythe-Probanek. We're talking about exercise during pregnancy. Should you do it? It sounds like you should. But should you do everything that you were doing before? Should you lift heavy, really, really? You know, because Valsalva, the Valsalva movement, like doing things like squats and stuff like that, really puts a lot of pressure on the diaphragm. Is it wise for women to do that?
I did it.
Really?
And most of the women I interviewed did the exact same thing. Heavy deadlifting, heavy squatting. I bench pressed at 9 months pregnant. Did all of it. There was no problem. And actually what I found is that it strengthens the pelvic floor because, you know, you got to think about it this way. Put it in this perspective. Women, when they were having babies hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, were squatting in the fields, picking up heavy bales of corn or hay or whatever they were picking up. They weren't sitting around on their butt the entire time, unless there was some weird complication, but most of them were moving around. Well, I mean, maybe not the high-end women, but, you know, realistically, women that were active moved, and they lifted heavy things, and they had to take care of like 10 kids sometimes, and, you know, tell me they weren't sitting down. They're probably running after 10 kids, you know, with two more on the way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's ridiculous to think that we need to be so sedentary, and it does, just like you said, it sets the stage for obesity or a lot of problems later in their life for women. Like physicians always say that a woman gains 5 pounds after every pregnancy that she can't get off. And I don't see that true with all the women I interviewed. And I interviewed on my blog, I called it the Fit Pregnancy Interview Series, and I had 9 up there, and I've got about 3 more coming at least from other women that lifted heavy, heavy while they were pregnant. I mean, for them, it's relative to what you've done before and what you're comfortable with, you know, and then modifications get made as you get bigger. But, I mean, as long as you're realistic and you're smart about what you're doing, there should be no reason you have to not do it unless, you know, like, the complication I did, one girl told me, you know, she had a, I think it's called placenta brevia, where there was a separation, and she had to be on bed rest.
Right.
And she was an active person, almost killed her, but, you know, that's...
But that doesn't... I have a niece who had that same thing, and she wasn't exercising during pregnancy.
Well, you're not supposed to.
No,
but
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. What I'm saying is... No, what I'm saying, she didn't get it as a result of exercising during pregnancy. So,
no.
So you know, that's not going to precipitate because of exercise, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, and that's not what I was inferring. I was just saying, unless you have something like that, there shouldn't be any reason. And it's really hard. You got to think about this. After you have the baby, you're not moving very much either. You're taking care of this little child. You're breastfeeding. You know, you're kind of stuck at home. I know. I was there. I mean, you don't really get out much because you're tired and the baby is sleeping every few hours. And it's not like you just leave him at home and be like, okay, see you later. I'm going to the gym. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. So it gets really difficult to then lose the weight once you have kids. And I was reading different, not necessarily research papers, but like commentaries from other individuals. And, you know, they state that once you have kids, you know, you let your kids make the choice of what restaurants you go to, and then you're not eating as well. So if you can keep the weight off, you know, keep the weight very minimal and to, you know, a healthy level in pregnancy.
Well, what do you think? Let's talk about that. How much weight did you gain during pregnancy?
15 pounds.
Oh, I love it. Because, you know, doctors are saying that you should not gain less than 27 pounds or 22 pounds. I forget what it is during pregnancy.
Yes,
and I'm thinking, was it 22?
25.
For
most average women. And then, like, if you're obese, you need to gain less than 22.
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, who comes up with these numbers? Why do you have to gain 25 pounds? I mean, okay, the baby is going to be like 8 pounds. So why do you have to gain another, you know, let's say 20 to, you know, 15 pounds? If you don't really need to, why? Why is that the magic number?
I'm not sure, but they put it in terms of body fluids and water and extra blood volume and then body fat. And a lot of it, you know, I think most of it is body fat. Like, I was very active, and near the end I was actually losing weight. In my last month, I was actually losing weight, and I was feeling a little bit bad, so I'd, like, overeat a little bit. And I also got a lot of flack from the doctors because I wasn't huge. My daughter came out, she was 7 pounds, 5 ounces, 19 inches, like the complete average normal baby. She had like the best Apgar scores, like she was completely healthy. There was nothing wrong with this child. She was picking up her head at 3 days old. You know, she was completely a strong child, and there was nothing to indicate there was anything wrong with her, and she's very bright now. And, you know, some people say, oh, you exercise, you're going to make your child like handicapped or no. You know, genetic deformities are genetic deformities. They happen to any different person. They don't have to do with the fact that you're exercising. I mean, you do have to be somewhat careful. I mean, obviously you don't want to be, you know, throwing balls at your stomach, like doing like med ball chest passes when someone hits you in the stomach. Like,
or,
I mean, stupid things.
Or board pressing with really heavy bench presses. You know what I mean? Where you let the bar hit your belly. You know what I mean? So
exactly. Bounce it off that sucker, right?
Right?
No, but if you're lifting, you're creating such a strong muscle around that, you know, your belly's expanding, and to then push that baby out, I mean, like, labor is no freaking joke, okay? I mean, your body does somewhat take over, but pushing a watermelon out of the size of a grapefruit, a hole the size of a grapefruit, is not an easy task.
Right.
So you got to remember, it takes a lot of muscles to do that. And the women I know that all stayed active during their pregnancies had amazing pregnancies, amazing deliveries, recovered right away. There was no issues. And only one girl I interviewed who was actually my friend who was pregnant with me. She was 2 weeks behind me, and we lifted together the entire pregnancy. She had problems, but she's a sales rep for a medical company, and her last 3 months she was sitting, like, pretty much all the last three, and she had really bad water retention, and then she ended up being very constipated, which is common, and broke her water early because she was constipated, pushing a lot, and so she had to have a C-section. But if she didn't have a C-section, I know she's a strong girl, she'd probably have been completely fine, but, you know, she still had a great recovery, and we were back in the gym, like, 3 weeks after our pregnancies. Stuff, so.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. I was teaching boot camp 3 weeks after I delivered. I was back in there doing exactly what I did, and I was teaching boot camp. And I doing,
now
doing
when you when you when you did when you after you delivered, did you have any weight to lose?
Most of it all came off. There was some, you know, belly to, and I mean, still, I don't feel like my belly is like completely. But, I mean, you got to think the thing was stretched out pretty good size. Like, I mean, I couldn't see my toes. I mean, and that was small compared to most women.
Right.
Still, I was like, I missed my feet. So you got to think that stretching is going to take a little time to tighten back up, you know, and I've got to be a bit more careful. And my lifestyle is different, too. But I am less, I weigh less now than before I got pregnant.
Wow. That's fantastic.
But I wasn't exactly the most ideal body weight before I got pregnant because I was probably about 5 pounds overweight before when I got pregnant because of the PhD. So regardless, I'm back now at my weight before, you know, before PhD, I guess.
Now, normal. Let's talk about something else for just a second that needs to be discussed. We talk about fetal exposure to alcohol, for instance. We talk about fetal exposure to stress. If a baby is in the womb and the mother is, victim of domestic violence, we know that has an effect on the baby's brain when the baby is born. We know that what happens to the mother translates to chemicals that flow through the body that quite often affect the baby. So the baby is born a lot of times with predispositions as a result of the things that the mother was exposed to during pregnancy. So.
Right.
We know how wonderful exercise is. Exercise produces lots of responses that enhance the body. For instance, exercise will reduce insulin resistance and increase insulin sensitivity, something you probably want for this little forming fetus inside you. Exercise increases positive brain hormones that will then flow through the body while this little brain is forming inside you. So it seems to me that it is intuitive in an effort to make an environment for this forming being inside you that you do these types of things that have a positive effect on the environment, like exercise. Yet doctors don't tell women to exercise during pregnancy. Why don't they?
Because it's a liability. The OBGYNs have the highest liability insurance of any physician in the world, basically. Maybe plastic surgeons have a bit more, but people will sue over a baby like nothing, like a drop of a pin, you know what I mean? Like as quick as possible. And so if they, you know, cover their butts and make sure nothing happens, but I think they're making it worse by telling women to exercise. And I was even told, you know, oh, well, you're doing a bit too much. And they wrote in my charts and said, she's really active, watch out. You know, watch her. And I was like, really? Are you kidding me? Like, thanks.
Like you were being reckless, you know?
Yeah, like I was like, well, because I told him I was hitting a tire with a sledgehammer and jumping on it and doing burpees.
You did that just to get a rise out of them, right?
I know, but it was awesome. But James Clapp, who wrote the book on this and exercising through your pregnancy, he monitored women. While they did this, and they showed that the actually sort of like it was sort of like a restriction of oxygen to the baby in a way, because, you know, like if you're exercising a little bit, it's diverted, actually improved the baby's oxygen oxygen carrying capacity later. So these children had better VO2 maxes,
more efficient, because it caused a more efficient environment for them to become accustomed to.
Their bodies were already primed to be athletic. So it's not like they had to fight it. It just came naturally. So you see some of these, like, you know, 14-year-old kids who are probably born to more active parents. You know, I just did a race yesterday, a warrior dash race, and, like, one of the top people that won it was a 16-year-old girl who did it in 28 minutes, and it took me 52. I mean, that was pretty good.
Right, right.
But 28 minutes, I was like, you kidding me? But they were 16, and I'm sure their parents sort of primed their bodies for it. And
well, you know, the one child that everybody always talks about being the myostatin null human being, it's a child in Austria.
Oh, yeah.
Both of his parents are Olympic athletes.
Oh yeah, there you go.
And so, you see this model of genetics for building strong muscles. You have the first myostatin null human being that they know is myostatin null as a baby. This is the baby that 4 or 5 years ago they had him holding like a 5-pound dumbbell straight out. He was like 2 years old, straight out. You know, they were showing what strength he has.
Wow.
Well, both his parents are Olympic athletes, and so you have to say to yourself, chances are his mom exercised during pregnancy, I'm willing to bet. And even if they didn't, their bodies were in such prime shape. I'll bet you didn't put a lot of weight on because they're German. They probably, they don't subscribe to that whole, you got to be really fat to deliver babies. That's something that's very uniquely American, believe it or not.
It is. It is, actually, because I had a lot of comments on my blog from European moms who said, I think it's so weird that you Americans are told to get fat during your pregnancies because they encourage that here in Europe. We're not encouraged to get all big and fat and do nothing. They're actually encouraged to exercise and stay fit.
See?
Because it helps them have better deliveries. And that's why our C-section rate is like 50%, or well, I think it's even higher than that in this country. Because if you're not active, you're not going to have any of that musculature to push a baby out. How the heck are you going to get that thing out of there? You can't walk, let alone push a baby out. You're waddling down the hallway. Tell me you're going to push a watermelon out yourself.
What do you think about ab work during pregnancy, actually doing abdominal work? Because obviously you want the abs to be resilient and bounce back.
You don't want to be doing crunching. And, I mean, we know that just for every person in general, that we don't want to be flexing and extending our spine. It's like breaking a credit card, bending it forth and back. That's what you're doing to your spine, and you're going to create an injury in that straight line. Wanted to be doing a lot more stabilization. So I had a really hard time in my pregnancy doing front planks because, I mean, my belly was kind of touching the ground when I was in a front plank, but also just that stability. But side planking, stability presses, like where you have a cable in front of you and you're pressing straight out, or they're called pal-off presses. There's other names for it. Choppings. I did a little bit of leg raises. I did some stability ball holds, like, stir the pot, kind of McGill stuff. I did McGill. He does the curl-ups and the bird dogs and all of those things. And then, if you're doing a med ball slam or you're doing a front squat, you're still using your core. So for me, it helped keep that definition in my abdominal wall. Not like I have a six-pack. I swear to God, I do not. But, I mean, I had something there. And I have pictures of my belly flat out on my face, on my wall. And from behind, you cannot tell I'm pregnant. And then you turn to the side, and then I've got a belly, but it's not like fat. It's
right.
Sort of stretched out.
Right, right,
so,
right.
And a lot of women that stay pregnant, that's how they look, or stay fit while they're pregnant, that's how they look. And then they bounce back right away, and then they feel good. And they're more able to take care of a child. I mean, that's a demanding process.
Yeah, and most people aren't prepared for it. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to delve a little bit deeper. I've got some questions about supplementation, obviously. You have to be very cautious with supplementation when you're carrying a baby. We're talking with Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Probanek. You can learn more about her by going to her website, Cassandra, C-A-S-S-A-N-D-R-A, Forsythe, Forsythe.com. I did spell it right, didn't I?
You did. That's awesome.
Okay, thank you. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk.
Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. veryintensepleasure.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Wow. I don't like that song. I got to get that one out of the lineup. I didn't know that was... You know what? I have a handful of songs in here that I mixed without like listening to all of the music first. And apparently there's some really obscene songs in there. I have to get out. I have to sit down. I have like 3,000 songs I have to sit through and listen through. I guess I'll make a note of this one right now and get it out as quickly as possible. Anyway, we're talking with Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Probanek, and we're talking about pregnancy and exercise during pregnancy. What about water intake during pregnancy? You know, a lot of us subscribe to the gallon a day. I learned this the hard way, and we talked about it on a recent show. I had kind of life got in the way for a while, and I was not drinking water like I normally do. And I actually started holding water to the point that my ankles by the end of the day would be swollen like that of a pregnant woman. I actually said that on the show. And then I started to go back to drinking my water every day, my gallon of water every day. And sure enough, my ankles went back to normal after about 3 days. The water just was flushed out of me, which is very counterintuitive. Drink more water, not to hold water. What about pregnant women? Should they subscribe to the high water intake that they had pre-pregnancy?
Oh, absolutely. Drink as much and more. And because you're hotter when you're pregnant, too, so you need that extra cooling mechanism of the water. But sometimes there's a lot of weird things that go on during pregnancy, like especially the nausea. I mean, some women can't even drink water. Some women can't even eat, you know, while they're pregnant. It gets pretty crazy. But some of the water retention that does have also has to do with just the sheer body weight on the woman. You know, especially that weight gain around the belly, it's just constricting the normal blood flow, especially to the legs. So, you know, my girlfriend who had to sit a lot while she was pregnant, you know, she ended up having like super swollen ankles and couldn't wear regular shoes, was always wearing flip-flops for the last, you know, month of her pregnancy. And she just, you know, that blood flow isn't the same. But the water, I mean, she drank a lot of water, so I don't know if it was completely that or if it more had to do with weight, you know, causing blood constriction or blood flow issues. So that's a tough one. And, you know, the whole nausea thing, I mean, no one really knows. Some people say it's because your kid has hair or you have different blood types.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something. It definitely has a relationship to progesterone from my research. But more importantly, my ex-wife, the poor thing, she was nauseous for months at a time with all three of our children. And if it wasn't for Phenagrin, you know, that basically was what she had to take to keep from throwing up all the time. Every week we had to take her to the hospital for rehydration. You know, they would put her on a couple bags because she would get so dehydrated. And all three of my children were born with really full heads of hair. So, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not saying that one has anything to do with the other, but I can tell you for sure that no one threw up more than her. And my kids had, like, my daughter Taylor, when she was born, because she was the first one, and so my ex tried to deliver vaginally, obviously, and before they said, no, you can't do it, we have to go to C-section, and probably the exercise thing, like you're saying, probably played into that, although we were young and we were pretty fit back then. But Taylor came out with a faux hawk from being in that, like, cervical canal too long, you know, so she had such long hair, she looked like a little baby rooster when she was born, so, but yeah.
So your wife was active, but she still had to have a C-section. Was she lifting active or just
No. You know what? Back in that era of my life, we ran. Running was the thing to do. No one really lifted. We were runners, you know, so we ran avidly, you know, long distances too, a couple, 3 miles a day. At that point in my life, I was running. And so we were not lifting anything back then. That was not the common message. Back then, the common message was, you know, put on a pair of Nikes and run.
Yeah, that was crazy. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I know. I know. I subscribe to
it. I mean, people still run a lot. I mean, that's still not going away anytime soon, but I think lifting has really caught on, and I think that's why it's more common to see pregnant women lifting and doing everything that, you know, a non-pregnant woman would do.
Right.
Except for women are still scared of lifting.
That's true. The majority of women are still scared of lifting, so you're going to find even a smaller segment of women who are pregnant and lifting. But maybe it'll catch on. Maybe women will give it a try. Maybe more women who are lifting will continue to lift during pregnancy without fear that they're going to abort their baby, because I think that's the real fear, isn't it? The real fear is, I mean, even you had to have some concern that – you know, if I lift too heavy, I could put some, you know, strain and, you know, and do something that I don't want to do.
You know what? I don't know. No, I didn't. I didn't really worry about it. No, not that I didn't.
So it was completely instinctive for you. It was completely instinctive. You thought, you know what? It's the right thing to do.
Well, I talked to a lot of my friends who are physicians too, that did have to abort babies. And, you know, they said when they extract the babies, they do genetic testing, and they oftentimes find it's a genetic abnormality. Like, you know, they have to find out why it was aborted, and like 99.9% it's because of that. And I only had this one girl, and she was a very, like, I don't even think, she wasn't even a physician. She was still an intern, and she said, oh, it's because this woman exercised too much. And I was like, are you sure about that? And then later on, she's like, okay, I was wrong, you know, but she said stupid things like that at first.
Right.
Because she was young. And
a lot of doctors do that, stupid, to be honest with you. A lot of doctors start wives' tales, and they mean well, because in their opinion, it's kind of like the way a mother tells a child, if you don't behave, the boogeyman's going to come. They don't realize now that child is going to be scared the boogeyman is under its bed for the rest of its life. But they mean well. They don't know how to convey the message that they want to convey, which is, you know, I care about you. I don't want you to hurt yourself. But they're coming from the wrong place when they take that type of verbal action with you, because they say stupid stuff that just isn't true, and it sticks with you then.
Yeah, it sticks with pregnant women, too. I had I saw a couple different OBGYNs. I switched because my first OBGYN was a total, I just did not like her. I can't say the word. She was not very nice. And every time I went in to go see her, like the room would get cold. So I switched. And then I went to another OBGYN who was actually one of my boot camp girls. And she's been an OBGYN for, I don't know, 25 years. So she's seen it all. And she took boot camp with me, and she was taking pictures of me near the end as I was doing burpees, you know, at 9 months pregnant and doing jump squats and doing jumping jacks and, you know, doing med ball slams and kettlebell swings. And she was taking pictures of it, and she's like, this is awesome. But right there with me, and she wasn't concerned. She said, I'm not worried about you at all, Kath. I know you're completely fine. But she's like, I just never got to see this in person. And, you know, she tells all of her patients now, if you want to be active, it's, you know, that's your choice. She's not condoning it because she can as a physician because of that liability.
Right.
But she
Because the one person who is active and aborts will say, that's why I aborted, and that'll shut her practice down completely.
And that's what they have to say. They can just say, I can't give you any advice, but I've seen other fit pregnant women exercise, and it's been fine. But it's, you know, I'm not condoning it, and I'm not saying no. It's just... So she has to say that. It's so stupid. But and there's actually new research coming out. It's in Washington. John Hall, where the heck is it? But anyway, there is new research. They're actually following women who are marathon runners running while they're pregnant, and they show that the baby is completely fine in those situations. And they're also doing some weightlifting research. Now, I don't really know what kind of weightlifting they're doing because it's just an OBGYN group, and I don't know if they actually have, like, personal trainers in there saying, like, you should squat and how to squat and stuff.
Right.
But with the running, they actually have these women on treadmills, and I have a link to it on my website so you can find it. I don't remember what the title is, but there's a link on my website, all this pregnancy exercise research I dug up, and they showed, like, the baby would just, like, the baby doesn't bounce. Actually, when a woman is running, the baby's, like, literally floating in this, like, pool of water, like, very serenely.
Yeah, and actually, I heard when they put the, when they put the monitor on the woman's tummy, they could actually hear the baby going, wee, and giggling.
Hey, that's probably why.
Do it again, mommy. Do it again.
I know. Run more. Yeah. My daughter, she loves to be upside down. Like, she's, like, happiest when I'm, like, swinging her by her feet. She laughs her head off, and she likes to, like, tumble around. She comes to boot camp with me. You were saying about you sort of, like, program, like, certain genes. She comes to boot camp with me, and she does some of the boot camp exercises.
Really?
Like we were doing sliders with mountain climber sliders, so we have the sliders on our feet.
Right.
She, like, literally, she's 14 months old. She, like, walked over to one person and kind of, like, pushed them out of the way and put her foot on the slider and started sliding back and forth with it.
Oh, how cute. Wow.
And I was like, what is happening here? I was like, can you say excuse me? You know, did I not teach you any manner? But
well, you know.
No, it was so
is your husband very athletic also?
Don't say I'm athletic. I'm just an exerciser, I swear, because I do not play sport whatsoever. I just exercise.
You can't be considered athletic because you don't play an organized sport?
Okay, I exercise.
Okay, you're an exerciser.
I'm an exerciser.
Is your husband an exerciser like you?
he mountain bikes and he rock climbs and he motocrosses. He's very fit. He's like one of these genetically blessed guys that can, like, eat a pizza and still have a six pack. It's kind of makes me irritated. But
Don't worry about that. When he turns 40, it won't be like that anymore. So don't worry.
Well, no, I hope not, because I work at a clinic where we can prescribe bioidentical.
There you go.
So I thought I'm set.
There you go.
we're set.
October 2007 was my date. That was the date when I went on and changed my life. It really, really did. So
he'd be on injections because that's what men get. Women get bioidentical testosterone. Men get injectable testosterone. Like, his father is actually, he came into our clinic and is on it. But anyway, that's completely off the pregnancy thing. But he is very fit too. And our daughter is, she we have a picnic table in the backyard, and we have a little dog door, so she, like, climbed through the dog door, out the dog door, walked over the picnic table, climbed herself up on the first step of the picnic table, climbed herself onto the top of the picnic table, walked over the top, and then turned around and let herself down over to the other side, and then down, back down again, walked around and went through the dog door again. I have a video of that on Facebook.
She's already doing she's doing her baby combines.
She's doing obstacle courses.
Yeah.
Like, I just did this obstacle court yesterday in Amesbury, and I was, like, picturing, I'm like, oh, I'm like, 14 more years, she'll be doing this with me.
And
like,
she will. Look, if fat parents beget fat babies and fat children, which they do, we know that, fit parents should beget fit babies and fit children. It just stands to reason. Let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap it up with Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Probanek. You can go to CassandraForsythe.com to learn more about her. She has lots of information there, lots of articles about training while pregnant. We'll be right back. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest, authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Pribanek. We're talking about pregnancy and training. It is a good idea. You need to talk to your doctor about it, obviously, but be prepared for them not to give you much support in this. It has to be a personal decision. But I have to believe that mothers who train during pregnancy give birth to healthy, happy babies who are strong and are primed to be healthy and happy adults. Call me crazy. Hey, my mother smoked cigarettes and took Elavil while she was pregnant with me. And clearly I have some issues. So there you go. All right. let's talk about supplementation for a second. Do you think that women who are supplementing with things like acetyl L-carnitine for fat loss or R-alpha lipoic acid because it's a great antioxidant, even vitamin C and vitamin E, you think that they need to back off completely?
That's kind of hard for me to say. I mean, I took supplements when I was pregnant, but I focused on ones that have had good research on them to show that they're beneficial during pregnancy. For example, choline was my big one, because it's shown to really greatly improve the cognitive development and the neural, neuromuscular, but the, anyway, I don't know what word I'm trying to say, but the neuroendocrine system, basically, of the baby. You know, improving insulin function, but also improving, like, nerve transmission. Like, they actually showed choline, women who even supplemented with folic acid would still develop neural tube birth defects if they were deficient in choline.
Yeah.
So choline is necessary for that whole neural tube development, for the spinal cord, for all that nervous system. Then, of course, DHA. When I was doing my master's, I had the pleasure of working. My supervisor was actually the guy who discovered that DHA and arachidonic acid was essential for infant cognitive development and eyesight. And he was the one that pushed to put DHA and ARA in infant formula. He was that guy.
Wow.
Which was pretty cool. So when I went to lipid conferences, like fat science conferences, people would say, oh, Dr. Clendenin, his name was Tom Clendenin from the University of Alberta.
I've heard of
and
him.
And they would say,
actually.
Oh, yeah, he's done. I mean, he's not really as active. I mean, he's a lipid researcher, but he really is brilliant. Yeah, so I had the pleasure of learning how important that was. So I took a lot of krill, and not a lot, but like a reasonable amount of krill and fish oil, because too much will, you know, thin the blood, et cetera. Like, so you don't want to overdo it. You just, you know, take enough and make sure it's mercury free and all that good stuff.
I'll tell you what I'm a bigger proponent of now for women, and I obviously can't make recommendations, but
right.
I think that vitamin A is touted as a very, very dangerous thing for women to take, but there is lots of evidence that women who have substantial amounts of vitamin A before and throughout their pregnancy give birth to babies that have greater symmetry, greater organ placement, and quite frankly, more beautiful babies, you know, just aesthetically more beautiful babies. And it makes perfect sense, because vitamin A is the X factor that Weston A. Price was talking about in much of his research when we discuss stem cell differentiation. Vitamin A is the catalyst for all stem cell differentiation. Now, interestingly enough, the government tells us that vitamin A is toxic. You shouldn't take too much of it. You know, I can't imagine how our Paleolithic ancestors measured how much vitamin A they got on a day-to-day basis. But I'm a big proponent of making sure that women have adequate amounts of vitamin A throughout their pregnancy, because it will help that baby form better.
Well, now, does that require supplementation? But I mean, like, for example, I swear to God, 30 carrots a day when I was pregnant and ate a lot of seafood.
But beta carotene does not influence vitamin A production, believe it or not. I know that people say that beta carotene leads to vitamin A production in the body, but there's more recent research has shown that it does not. It does not enhance vitamin A production in the body. So,
okay, but what about the lipid soluble? So, like, I eat mussels and sardines.
Yeah. There you go.
Now you're
talking.
Like, I was eating like 3 or 4 cans of mussels a day. It was kind of, I thought it was more to do with the DHA, but it could be the vitamin A, because I mean, that's fat soluble.
Yes.
So, and then,
now you're talking.
You know,
now you're talking. Cod liver oil, fish products, especially, you know, mercury free. Make sure you know where you're getting it from. But yes, that those are great sources of vitamin A, and
well,
you know, that's important.
I think the most important thing though for women though is a variety of foods in their diet, because when you're pregnant, there's a lot of weird cravings that go on.
Yeah.
And for me, it was seafood and then fruit. I mean, and I interviewed a lot of women as well with another colleague of mine. We went on one of these baby mama websites and we asked women what their cravings were. You know, some of it was coffee, you know, you're tired and whatnot, but a lot of it was fruit. There's something. Now it could have to do with blood sugar control issues, meaning, like, a lot of women end up getting hypoglycemic when they're pregnancy and their blood sugars really fluctuate because that baby is sucking glucose out of you like crazy. And if you're more sensitive to it, so the fruit, at least if you're reaching for fruit, like, I know women that talk about eating, like, bags of, like, cheese puffs and, like, processed food. My sister, one time, I caught her eating 12 donuts at one time. I was like, what the hell are you doing? So she's like, I'm pregnant, I can do this. And I'm like, well, yeah, but not.
Right.
You can, but it's not good. So, like, a lot of food, of good food, like organic food, I cut out, like, everything bad, like, no artificial sweeteners. I went to completely all no sweetened whey protein.
Right.
I wouldn't eat any protein bars if they had any sweetener in them whatsoever. It was only things like, you know, nut and fruit bar kind of things, like Lara bars and whatever, you know.
Right.
But no anything artificial, no diet sodas, and I still actually don't eat. I have a little bit artificial sweetener, like in some of my whey proteins, like I add like a tiny bit of it, but I was like so freaked out about like artificial sweeteners and like mercury and pesticides, and I was all about like let's eat as clean as possible. And you know, I think that that's probably one of the best things. Like, yes, you should take probably a multivitamin and, you know, some vitamin A, but, you know, it would be scary to, I don't know how much is, what amount do you, a woman's body need to have those adequate levels. Has that been researched?
No, but I think you could probably find more information through the Weston A. Price Foundation. Sally Fallon writes about the importance of vitamin A for pregnancy. And,
okay.
And so she does write about that. So if you go to WestonAPrice.org and hunt around, I predict that you'll be able to find the information you're looking for. But, I mean, I have now become of the mindset, you know, I was always a big proponent of vitamin D. I take 10,000 IUs a day, except when I'm getting a lot of sun. But now I'm of the mindset that vitamin D, vitamin A, and vitamin K2 must all be taken in concert in order to have all the benefits. And vitamin A and vitamin D have a synergistic relationship. Interestingly enough, there's a lot of research that says they displace each other in the liver. I don't necessarily buy that. I got to tell you, I think the body is a lot more instinctive and intuitive than that. And I think that if you consume large amounts of vitamin A and vitamin D, the body knows what to do with it. You're not going to become toxified by it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do take a very, very good cod liver oil product that has a 10-to-1 ratio of A to D, and then I supplement with a little bit of extra D to hit the mark that I'm looking for. And I got to believe that stem cell differentiation becomes even more and more important as you age. It's important when the fetus is being produced and the baby is being formed from the fetus. And then it becomes important again at older age when organs start to fail. We have enough stem cells in our body that doctors can harvest them, strengthen them, and then reimplant them. So I always say to myself, and I've had this discussion with somebody who I know is undergoing stem cell Parkinson's disease right now, a stem cell procedure for Parkinson's, where they actually are incubating her cells that they took out of her brain for 6 months before they put them back. And 8 people have undergone this surgery, and 8 people have walked away with no symptoms after 6 weeks of the reimplantation, symptoms completely gone of Parkinson's. It's very exciting. So anyway, and I keep saying to myself, I don't understand. If the stem cells are in there, why can't the body coax them to do the job? The body knows what to do, and I have come back time and time again to the lack of vitamin A in our diet. And I think that it becomes even more important as we age that we have adequate amounts of vitamin A so that our body can repair what's broken before we run out of time. But that's just my opinion. I don't have any accreditation or anything like that. And again, my mother did take an anticholinergic during pregnancy. Elevil happens to be an anticholinergic. After you said that, I thought, oh, well, I got more strikes against me than I realize here, you know?
Hey, I was adopted, and I've fed breast or formula, and I don't know. My mom was 18 when she had me, so she said she ate well, but who knows? If you're 18, do you really know how to eat well?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, the good news is they probably didn't have as many fast food places back then, so there you go.
Yes, actually, and it was Canada, too, so I have two positives right there.
There you go. Anyway, I think we've covered a lot of the bases for women who are listening to the show. The takeaway should be your pregnancy should be your individual experience. It should not be hampered by someone telling you you have to gain 30 pounds. It should not be hampered by anybody telling you you should not do any exercise. It should be an extension of your normal life. And that baby will probably be a lot healthier and will thank you someday for that.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go. Visit Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Probanik's website, please. It's Cassandra, C-A-S-S-A-N-D-R-A, Forsythe, F-O-R-S-Y-T-H-E.com. Lots of great stuff going on there. We're going to have her back again soon. If you have a topic, a female-centric topic that you want covered, email me at onair@superhumanradio.com, and we'll have Cassandra back on the show to address your specific topic, okay? So I'm not a woman, so I don't know what women really want to hear about. Usually when I have Cassandra on, I ask her what she wants to talk about, and that's why it looks like I'm intelligent and picking good topics, but I'm really not. So please feel free to email me at onair@superhumanradio.com, and we'll do more of these shows, okay? There you go. Cassandra, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. right, and I also want to thank Dr. Mauro DiPasquale for coming on the beginning of the first hour of the show to talk about delayed onset muscle soreness, and hope that you don't have much of it in your life. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. You know you can listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? That's right. Go to the iPhone store and download the free Shoutcast app and then search for the Superhuman channel.
Prepare to experience.